James chapter 1, and beginning our reading at the opening verse, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 8, and let's just briefly pray. Our loving Father, minister to our hearts. Oh, may there be a word for our souls this evening. Grant, Lord, thy blessing to be upon, Lord, thy people. And as the word is preached, give much help, Lord, and assistance in the Spirit. Guide these lips of mine and this tongue of mine, I pray, and may, O God, I speak a word in season to every soul gathered in the building or on social media this evening, or who will listen on at a later date. O God, may the word be a blessing and a challenge and a means of instruction for all. We offer prayer in the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Well, this evening we come to the second main topic that our brother James deals with here in his 5-chapter epistle, as he writes to these scattered saints of God across the world, these 12 tribes, these individuals who had been going through trials and temptations and troubles. He deals now with the matter of wisdom. And wisdom is a much necessary and a much needed virtue that every child of God needs and requires, especially when we find ourselves going through the trials and the difficulties of this life. Now, there are a number of matters that I want to address this evening. I want you to see, first of all, as we think about this matter of wisdom, I want to first of all begin by thinking about wisdom required. Wisdom required. Now, the connection between this topic of wisdom and the topic that comes before it, that of trials and temptations, the saints' trials and temptations, may not immediately jump to your mind what that very connection is. However, when we appreciate that it requires heavenly wisdom to understand why the trials of life come upon us, and we need wisdom also as to not question our all-wise and all-loving God in the midst of our trials, then we do come to understand the connection between our testings, our trials, and this need for wisdom that we find in the verses 5 through to 8. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, lest the child of God would draw wrong conclusions from their trials and their troubles and temptations, James encourages these saints of God to ask for wisdom, that they might understand what God is doing through the trial and through the day of testing. Such wisdom is required. And thus he encourages them to ask God for wisdom. You see, there are really only two ways in which a Christian can respond to the trials that occur in this world. There is the wise response that says to the believer, counting it all joy when they fall into diverse temptations. They, by wisdom, understand that God is perfecting them. He is maturing them through the trials of life. And it requires divine wisdom for us to appreciate that and to understand it as we go through the trials of life. Without that wisdom, we'll simply look upon life's circumstances as a mishmash of happenings and chances in life. But whenever we ask God for wisdom in the trial, then we understand what God is doing in and through our lives. And so there is the wise response, and then there is the foolish response. It really sees to the child of God becoming disheartened and discouraged in life and doubtful of God's love as they pass through the valley experiences of their journey through this world. Is it not the case, brethren and sisters, that during our own personal days of testings, those seasons of trial, that we sometimes misjudge what God is doing? We question His love, or we question His wisdom. We doubt His love. And I suppose we are at times suspicious whether any good will ever come out of the difficulty and out of the trial that we're passing through. Why do we respond in such a way? It is simply because we do not apply heavenly wisdom to the happenings of our lives. And so, when we go through those God-ordained difficulties in our life, and maybe you're going through such even this evening, this is something that you and I need to pray for. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom that you might understand what God is doing. Too often we ask for simply the removal of the trial. That's the natural response, is it not? When we're going through some difficult patch in life, the natural request from God is for God to remove the trial, or to give grace, or to, as it were, restrain or reduce the trial in its duration, or maybe simply the easing off the difficulty that we're going through. But here we have instruction of what we're to do first and foremost. The first thing that we're to do is to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom in how to respond to the difficulties in life. You see, wisdom will not ask the question, why? Wisdom will ask the question, what? Not why am I going through this difficulty? Not why am I going through this trial? Not why has this cross been placed upon my life? But what? What, God, do you want to say to me through the difficulty? What is it in my life that needs modifying, correcting, putting right? What is it that you're trying to teach me? And that requires wisdom. A wisdom that is beyond human wisdom. This is God's wisdom required in such times. Now, whenever James writes here, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He is making the readership aware that there is a deficiency that exists in their lives. And this deficiency is in this area of wisdom. The word lack is to be destitute of, to be wanting, to be deficient. Now, we live in what is termed the digital age. Many have termed the 21st century as the information age. This world is full of information. There are many and very different sources from which this information, this knowledge can be accumulated. There are libraries, and we have our bookstores, we have the World Wide Web, we've got smartphones, we have universities, and we have colleges, and we have schools, and we have lecturers, and we have teachers, and we have television, and we have radio. This is the information age. We have knowledge at our fingertips, literally, in our lives, from day to day, moment to moment. There can, as it were, be a great means of gleaning knowledge from various sources in the world. We have even in our homes what are known as assistant devices, Alexas. Alexa this, tell me this, and Alexa that, and Alexa will tell you what you require, what the weather's going to be, what the news headlines are going to be. All of this knowledge coming to us from all varied and different places. But there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. A vast difference. I'm sure, like me, you have found individuals in life, you've come across them and they're very knowledgeable, but really they don't apply much wisdom in their lives or in their dealings with others. What is wisdom? Well, simply put, wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and to use it and to apply it correctly. That's what wisdom is. It is the use of this knowledge and to apply it or to use it correctly. I've used the illustration before, but it's well worth the using again. That really distinguishes between knowledge and wisdom. You see, a knowledgeable person will have a knowledge with regard to the properties of fire. But it is a wise individual who understands that it would be a very dangerous thing to put their hand into a fire. A knowledgeable person knows all about the properties of fire, that it's hot and it's warm and it's dangerous. But only whenever that knowledge is applied will the wise individual keep their hand or keep their child away from the fire. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And brethren and sisters, we all, at times in our lives, suffer from a deficiency in wisdom. At times we regret what we have said. And we've come and we've thought to ourselves, if only I had have used wisdom, I wouldn't have said that. Or I wouldn't have said it in that way. Or maybe some decision that we made rashly or quickly in our lives, and we've looked back years since that decision and thought to yourself, if only I had have used wisdom with regard to that decision, maybe things would have worked out much better. Maybe things that we have done that we should have avoided if greater wisdom had been employed at the time. We need wisdom, God's wisdom. And I need God's wisdom, and you need God's wisdom, even as we labour together in the work of God. We need wisdom all of our lives, and we need to first understand that there is a deficiency of this wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, not the wisdom of this world that is earthly and sensual, as James will speak later on, but that which is heavenly, that which is from God, divine wisdom that comes to us from God. And whenever we understand our deficiency, then that will bring us to the second point tonight, because we not only have wisdom required, but we have wisdom requested. This lack of wisdom to understand the purposes and his plans for them as they fell into diverse temptations. And thus James, he instructs them to ask of God. Notice there, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now there are a number of things with regard to the request. I want you to notice who the request is made to. Who the request is made to. Notice that James directs these people immediately to the source of all wisdom. Let him ask of God. That's where you'll need to go. Don't go to the libraries of the world. Don't go to the other sources of information that is available to your hand at this specific time of history, but let him ask of God. Resort to the one who possesses infinite wisdom. Go to him. Go to God. Don't ring up your minister, although we're here to help. Let him ask of God. That's where you need to go first, child of God. Now, it's good to have counsel from good and godly individuals. Multitude of counselors, there's great wisdom in that. But let him ask of God. There's my first port of call. When I'm in the trial, when I'm in the difficulty, I need to go first to God, because he is the all-wise God. And we read of that in Scripture. Romans 16 verse 27, to God only wise. That's how Paul terms God, God only wise. Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. Now on to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Jude 25. To the only wise God. Three times in the New Testament, this statement, only wise God. Job 36, verse 5, "Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom." Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, "For wisdom and might are His." Speaking of Jehovah, wisdom and might are His. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, "Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ is the wisdom of God. And so if you need wisdom, maybe for the trial, maybe for the decision that's looming, some direction to take, let him ask of God. There's who you go to. John L. Dagg, he was a 19th century Baptist preacher, Calvinist preacher there in America. He said, "How full of consolation is the doctrine that infinite wisdom directs every event, brings order out of confusion and light out of darkness, and to those who love God, causes all things, whatever be their present aspect and apparent tendency, to work together for good." Why then do we find ourselves going to other sources when He who possesses infinite wisdom is ready to dispense that wisdom that we so require? And so, child of God, go to the fount of all wisdom and request such from Him. Note secondly what the request is made for. We have touched upon it. It is for wisdom. That's what we need. The request isn't to be delivered from the trial, or that the trial would be removed, but that we would have wisdom in the trial. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What we need, as I've said, first and foremost, is divine wisdom, in order that we might rightly understand the true meaning of God in the midst of life's trials, that we may be able to see what His purpose is and what His plan is in dealing with us. Too often, you and I, we find ourselves murmuring against God's dealings with us in our lives because we have not applied this wisdom to the trials and testings of life. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We need wisdom. Christian parent, you need wisdom. You need wisdom how to raise your children as God, how God would have you to raise them. Young people, it's divine wisdom that you need whenever you're coming to make choices in life regarding your future. Married couple, it's divine wisdom that you need when it comes to how you treat your spouse in the home place. Single person, it's divine wisdom that you need when it comes to who is going to be your life's partner if it is God's will for you to marry. You need wisdom in every aspect of our lives. Home life, church life, school life, life in the community, life in the house of God and in the community of and the fellowship of the saints. We need wisdom. We're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we are to acknowledge Him. Divine wisdom for every decision, not just the large decisions of life, for every decision in life, large and small. Oh, we'll not err if divine wisdom leads us and guides us. But we need to ask of God. Note thirdly how the request is made. If wisdom is to become ours, then we have to ask. How simple. How simple it is. We must ask. We must pray for it. Through prayer, God gives to His children this wisdom that they need, so that they will not waste the opportunity that God is giving them through the trial to mature and to become well-rounded, well-balanced believers. We thought about that a few weeks ago. Thomas Manton said, "God will have everything fetched out by prayer. He giveth nothing without asking. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That's what Christ said in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse number 7. Ask. Let him ask. Now James enlarges a little bit about this asking. He gives us some ideas some thoughts, some truths with regard to how we are to ask. Okay, this is what we're to do. We're to ask. Now, how are we to ask? Well, note the verse there, verse number 8, number 6. But let him ask in faith. In faith, nothing wavering. The individual who asks without faith is described like the wave of the sea. That individual that's driven, tossed to and fro. That man, we're told, will receive nothing from God. Verse 7, but for let not that man think, the individual who has no faith in God, that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, the person who asks without faith is the person who prays, but they expect nothing from their praying. It's not like the little girl who went to the prayer meeting and she, I think it was a bit of a drought on that period of time, and she brought her umbrella with her because she came to ask for rain and she came expecting that God would hear her prayer. I was reading another illustration today about a little girl after an evangelistic meeting was over. She was only 5 or 6, 7, 8 years of age. She was very young. And there she sat praying. The minister thought, well, she's not praying. He thought maybe she had been lost or she was waiting for someone to collect her. And then he understood that she was praying, praying for her father, a drunkard, that he would come in and get saved. Whenever she ended her prayers, that man came through the doors and sought God for salvation. She asked in faith. Simple, childlike faith. Do we do that? Do we have faith? It's not faith in what we pray and the words we use and the phrases and how good it sounds with regard to the use of the English language, how eloquent it is, how long our prayers are. It doesn't say that. It says let him ask in faith. Not faith in our prayers, but faith in the one to whom we pray. It's like salvation. You know, we're not saved because of our faith. We're saved because of who our faith is in. It's in Christ. There's the object of my faith, in Christ. And so it is for our supplications. It's not in the length and earnestness of our prayers, although thank God for that, when God stirs the soul, but rather it is in who I am praying to, this God who hears and answers prayer. There's my faith. I've found an object for my faith tonight as I come to prayer. This is the one who said, ask and it shall be given. Now I have faith in God and I believe that he will give that which I request. Although it be, and as long as it be according to his will. You see, James doesn't say, well, if you want wisdom, you have to jump through this religious hoop. And you have to reach this sort of spiritual maturity and a level of maturity in your Christian walk for you to get this faith. I tell you, there's a simplicity here, and there's a simplicity that we do not need to complicate. Let him ask. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Simply ask. All that we would simply ask. I wonder this morning, did you ask God for wisdom? Did you ask him for wisdom before you got up? I must be honest, every time the phone rings in the manse, I always pray. I always pray. I don't know what I'm going to hear. I don't know what difficulty or trial or death or sorrow. I always pray. There have been times in my life that I've stood speaking with individuals and I've been inwardly praying for wisdom. Happened recently, a few weeks ago. I just stood there as the individual talked with me and I just prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. I need to answer this person in a Christ-like way. Give me wisdom. The inner breathing of the soul. God, give wisdom. Have you ever noticed that in the trials of life that you find yourself praying, maybe praying more intensely, more earnestly when the days of testing comes? It's part of the reason why we're taken into the into those diverse temptations. You see, James understands one of the blessed benefits and byproducts of the trial is that the individual is going to go to their God to pray. And that's why sometimes the trial comes, to bring us to the place of prayer. I remember late on in Andrea's pregnancy with Abigail, she came home one day and she said that she hadn't felt Abigail moving all day. And you'll know, those who have had children, you'll know how concerning that is. Now, it used to be that, maybe shouldn't say this, she's watching in tonight, used to be that all she had to do was to take maybe a drink of fizzy, a drink, and that just set her off. Abigail was ready to go. She came to church, and she was always very moving a lot in church. But that day, Andrea had felt nothing. I tell you, when we drove up the road that night to the early pregnancy clinic in Antrim Area Hospital, we did a lot of praying. A lot of praying. A lot of praying together, a lot of praying secretly, privately, silently. We did a lot of praying. And we all know God heard and answered prayer, but I tell you, took the trial. Does it were bring the praying up a few notches and up a few gears? And so that's sometimes the reason why the trial comes. And so we think of, yes, that which is required and that which is requested. That which is received. Wisdom received. Wisdom received. When asked for faith, God gives wisdom. According to James 1 verse 5, he gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. Well, you notice a number of things very quickly. God gives this wisdom to us. It comes to us gratuitously. We are told that wisdom, when asked for, is given to us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth. And what is given but a gift? And a gift is often given because of the grace of the giver. Wisdom does not come naturally to any one of us. It is a gift of God. And any gift from God is undeserving. Always undeserving. It comes to us because of the grace of God. And so we're debtors to his grace and to his goodness to us. To think that we warrant or would merit God's wisdom would only be folly of the highest degree on our part. God gives us wisdom. It's given gratuitously, graciously, you could say. I think of Solomon. He asked there in 2 Chronicles, in the chapter number 1, you can read it when you go home this evening, verses 7 through to 12. What did he say? Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? But because thou hast asked wisdom, wisdom and knowledge is verse 12, granted unto thee. It's granted. It's given. As a gift, I think of another man, Beaziel, the man who was employed for the building of the tabernacle. And we find there in Exodus and the chapter number 36 and the verse, let me see, find it for you. Exodus chapter 36 and the verse number 1, it says, then wrought Beaziel and Ahobab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom. God put it there. It was a gift from God, graciously given. In the second place, this wisdom is given impartially. Again, James 1 in the verse 5, the words giveth to all men. To all men, to all. The word man is in italics there, just to all. It's given to everyone that asks. That's the only stipulation, that asks. But if they ask, they get, they are given. And so the weak saint as well as the strong, the mature believer as well as the immature, the young convert as well as the older convert, the saint whose faith is great as well as the saint whose faith is small, God impartially dispenses his wisdom to all. Any man, any woman, teenager, boy, girl, all men, all. And then he gives it abundantly. It says that he giveth to all men liberally. There is a liberality with our God, with everything that he does for us. Oh, the liberality of our God, the abundance of our God. It's the only time that this word is used in the New Testament. It speaks about the abundant generosity of God. That's what it simply is referring to. That God generously bestows this wisdom upon all. There is no stinting with God. There is no withholding from God. God's giving always outstrips our asking. Did you get that? God's giving always outstrips our asking. What do we read there in Ephesians 3 verse 20? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. His giving always outstrips our asking. You know, all we asked was that our sins would be forgiven. But what did he give us? Assurance and peace and hope and joy and adoption, justification, a standing now in Christ, a home in heaven. All of these things, his giving outstripped our asking when we came to him the first time. And when we continually go to him, we find, he is a bit like Joseph. He opens the storehouses. And thank God there is an abundance in our God. And he gives lovingly. He upbraideth not. The phrase is, he doesn't reproach us. He doesn't reprove us. He doesn't treat us harshly. He doesn't coldly repel us or harshly reprove us when we come to him and ask what we need. No, he lovingly gives to us. Oh, he's our loving Heavenly Father. And we're promised that as we come, he gives to all men liberally. How does this wisdom come to us then? Is it dispatched down from by an angel? Does some angel come and is where put into us this wisdom? Is this how this wisdom comes to us? No. This wisdom comes to us through this book, this sacred volume. The Word of God. It is a word of wisdom. It's not some prophet with some word of wisdom whereby we get wisdom for the trial or difficulty. No. No, it's through the Word. What did Paul say to Timothy? As from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. The Scriptures make us wise. This is the depository of wisdom. And so we need to get into the book. We need to get the book into us. And as we do so, God will guide us with unerring wisdom. May God help us then to ask for wisdom. And may that divine wisdom guide our affairs in the days that lie ahead. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask in faith. And thank God he will give to all liberally and will upbraid not, and it shall be given him. May God make us wise in these days and in the days that lie ahead. May the Lord bless his word to all.